Now we're recording. Okay, so I should mention last night, Reuben Seltzer sponsored the daf on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father, Yisachar Dov ben Rav Reuven, and tonight he's sponsoring daf yomi on the yahrzeit of his mother, Miriam bat Yitzchak. They died on the same, like one day apart on the calendar, so both dafim should be lilui nishmatam. All right. Now, last night I wanted to come back to this thing about the toilet paper. Maybe I should talk about the end of the daf. Let me do today's daf, and then at the end I'll come back to some more information about the thing with the toilet paper. Okay. So today we're on daf pei beis, right? Pei beis today. So we're poised to finish the eighth parak of Amotzi Yayin. Let's take a look. We're three lines from the top. Pei beis amid aleph. So Amalei Rav Huna the Rabba Berei. So Rav Huna said to his son Rabba, "Ma'itamalo shchichet kamid Rav Chista de mechadin shmaite. Why don't you spend more time with Rav Chista? He's so sharp in learning. You'd be doing yourself a favor. I don't understand why you don't spend more time with him." So he says, "Amalei, my azil gabe. Why should I go to him? The chiazil gabe, motively be the dama. When I go to him, he talks about things from the Veltarine, not Torah." So I don't think it's such valuable that I should go to his shirim. So, for example, Amarli, he, Rav Chisda, said to me, "Man da ayal lebeda kisei laleiti behedya," that when a person goes to the bathroom, he shouldn't sit quickly and with like force. He says, it means he's trying to relieve himself. Velo litrach tve, he shouldn't like force himself too much. Da haikar kashta atlachine yativ, because like the rectum rests on like these three muscles, and Michael maybe will fill us in a little bit. You have sphincter muscles at the end. So he says, Dilma mishtam tashini de karkashta v'atli day sakana. In other words, he may press himself, come to sakana. They said it could be lead to a rectal prolapse. And again, maybe Michael will fill us in a little bit afterwards. Sa amar lei, so his father said to him, Haba asik b'chai de birita. He's osek in things that relate to a person's life. He says, "Va'ad amri b'milu da'alma." You say that's like from the Veltarine. It's important things. Kol shkein zilagabe. Certainly, you should go see him. Michael, do you want to comment on anything? Dr. Frank, do you want to say anything? No. All right, I guess not.
Yeah, right, I'm here.
He got cold.
So,
do you want to say something?
The sphincter muscles just keep you continent, but there's a mesentery that keeps everything together, that keeps it inside you. And when you're too forceful over a long period of time, you can get a rectal prolapse.
The mesentery, is that a muscle? Is mesentery a muscle?
No, the mesentery is...
Michael?
No, mesentery is... You don't hear me? You can't hear me
talking? It's coming in and out.
Hello?
I hear you now. Go ahead. You're good.
All right. Forget it.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Okay. So the mesentery...
No, it's fine. I hear you now.
...is the tissue that holds the intestine in place. Okay. The mesentery holds the tissue in place. The anal muscles are only for continence. But if you force too hard, you can't have a rectal prolapse.
Okay, so but the mesentery isn't something that a person can control, like contract or do anything with. I hear you.
No.
All right,
no,
let me go on.
It's
if
the tissue that
you're able to get better. All right, let me move on. All right,
we're chopping up.
Anyway,
we don't have a good Zoom tonight.
Right. Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll get better later on. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, so the Gemara says on the last narrow line on Pei Beis Amid Aleph, so he says, now the Gemara quotes, "Hayulafanav tsurov acheres." If a person, he wants to relieve himself, and the material he has to clean himself up with, his tsurov would be a pebble. The choice is using pebbles or using cheres. Cheres is a pot shard. So he says, now they each have a positive and a negative. So the tsror doesn't cut so much, to use it, you have to have a dispensation for muksa, because the rocks are normally muksa on Shabbos, but Chazal had a special dispensation for the tsror. That's that piece. The cheres is sharper, it could do more injury, but it's not muksa, because a cheres, even before Shabbos, is ru'i for different things, and it's not considered to be muksa. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna mar mekneich b'tzror b'mekneich b'cheres. Rav Huna says, go for the tzror, leave the cheres alone. Cheres is too dangerous, it's too sharp. He says, Rav Chisda mar mekneich b'cheres v'mekneich b'tzror. Rav Chisda says, no. He says, go for the cheres. The cheres is not muksa. You don't need any dispensation to use the cheres, and don't do the tzror. So that's a machloket amarayim then between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna says, go for the tzror, and Rav Chisda says, go for the cheres. So he says, meipe. So in this, we ask a question against Rav Huna. He says, the Braisa says, hayulfanav tzror v'cheres. Person had pebbles and a pot shard or pot shards. Mekaneach b'cheres v'mekaneach b'tzror. Go for the pot shard. So that sounds on all fours like Rav Chisda against Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, tiyufta. So Rav Huna looks like he's upgeschlacht. So the Gemara says, tiyufta de Rav Huna. So tirgma Rafram bar papa kamid Rav Chisda. So Rafram bar papa explained this braisa before Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is the bar palukta. Rav Huna, Rav Chisda had the machloket. So the braisa at first blush supports Rav Chisda. But Rafram bar papa explained the braisa before Rav Chisda, alib de Rav Huna, in conformity with Rav Huna's opinion. But okay, Lim. In other words, in general, Rav Huna holds go for the tzror because the cheres is too sharp. But this braisa, according to the way Rafram bar papa was explaining it, is talking about the cheres that came from like the lid of the vessel, so it's very smooth. The rim of it, so it's smooth. So that cheres is very unusual. So there, Rav Huna would agree to go with the rim. It's smooth. All right. Any questions on this? Everybody good? All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. We're on the fourth wide line on Pei Beis and Aleph. Everybody think? Okay. Now.
We don't
say again. I can't hear you so well. The communication's not so good tonight. We touched on the topic last night, but
mine, or yours?
We didn't. We spoke about. We touched on this topic last night, but now the Gemara is elaborating a little bit more.
Didn't we say you shouldn't use the cheres because it's sorcery or something like that?
Right. Okay. Last night we mentioned that cheres, one problem with cheres was sorcery. That's true. We did mention that last night. Who was it that said that? One second. That was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you shouldn't use the cheres on Shabbos. Because of Kshafim, but there are different opinions, I assume. All right, now let's see further in the Gemara. All right, the fourth one. Now, again, this is a statement from Amorayim. Hayulfanav Tzurva Asabim. Now his choice is pebbles or grass. He says, Rav Chistav Rav Amnuna Chadamar Mekaneich B'Tzurva Mekaneich B'Asabim. One says, go for the pebbles, leave out the grass. One says go for the grass and not the pebbles. Now, there's two ways to understand the sugya. Either the sugya is talking about during the week, nothing to do with Shabbos is one way to understand it. And it's just talking about which is like sharper on the rear end. In other words, the tzror is, you know, obviously it's not your Charmin, but the... but the grass, apparently the grass they're talking about, it doesn't seem like the grass on the front lawn of our properties. It's like a very sharp-edged grass. So it could also cut into you. So that's the question. If I say it's not talking about Shabbos, that's the way I would learn the sugya. Which one is, you know, safer to use? He says, but if it's talking about Shabbos, so then the issue is that, again, so tzror, I could use a tzror on Shabbos, but I'm utilizing a dispensation that Chazal gave me. In other words, tzror are normally muksa, and I haven't designated the tzror before Shabbos. So I'm using the dispensation that Chazal gave me to use the tzror. With asabim, and here there's a machloket whether the asev is or is not muksa, it means the asev could be attached to the ground. I'm going to use it while it's still attached to the ground, but even if it's muksa, I'm not going to move it directly. In other words, the tzror I have to pick up on my hand to get it where it needs to go. So I'm using it directly. With the asev, I'm going to kind of like rear end into it, you know, and wipe my body over it. So that's less objection. It could be less objectionable. All right, okay, Malka, we'll get to it. Now, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, Okay, so they have machloket. So Meife, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamakanech b'davar sha'ur shaletet bo shinav ha'tachton noshrot. That if a person cleans himself, like after he relieves himself, with something that's flammable, so shinav ha'tachton, his bottom teeth, it means either those sphincter muscles or the way Michael, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the thing, Michael, mycenium, whatever it was. I can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself.
Mesentery.
All right, so maybe the mesentery. But anyway, the things that could do damage to him if I use something. So the point is, I can't use something that's flammable. So that brisa sounds like it's a dead letter. Rock is not flammable, but asabim, grasses are flammable. So it sounds like that the brisa is saying mefurash. The brisa is from the Tanoim. The brisa is saying mefurash not to use grass on Shabbos, l'chora. So the Gemara says, and again, we have the machlok between Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna. So the Gemara says, lokasha. There's no contradiction between the earlier statement, whichever one made the statement, we don't know if it's Rav Hamnuna or Rav Chista, to use the grass, and this braisa is habalachin habivation. The earlier statement to use the grass, sometimes the grass is moist, it's wet, so it's not flammable. So that then you have the heter, it's not a problem with that braisa. The braisa is talking about dry grass, then that's bad news for the karkashta. Now, the Gemara says, on Yisrach Lefanot, Veno Nifna, let's say a person needs to relieve himself and he doesn't. Rav Chista Ravina, Chadamar Ruach Rosh Letetbo, one person says he gets bad breath, and it's digestive halitosis is what the art school said. That's like if you're not relieving yourself. He says, V'chadamar Ruach Zuhamash Letetbo, he gets like perspirational odor if he doesn't relieve himself. We'll hear from Dr. Frank in a minute, and maybe he'll comment. So he says here,
no Tani comment.
Tani Kamanda Amar Ruach Zuma Shletibo. We learn a brisa that supports the opinion that the whole body begins to get perspirational odor from holding himself in. He says, the Tani, we learn in the brisa, a nitzrach l'nekava, if a person needs to relieve himself, va'ochel, and then he eats. Not a good idea. He says, domen l'tanur shesiku al gav eifaro. It's like an oven that was heated up on top of its old ashes. In other words, the oven, you heat the oven, whether you have wood there or coals or whatever, and then when you're done cooking, so the ashes need to be swept out, and you'd start like a new fire with it. But if I have the old stuff that's still there, and then I heat it up, so it doesn't burn so efficiently, doesn't burn well. So what I want to say, like if I'm eating and I still have the other stuff that's in me, it doesn't the body doesn't work so well, and everything comes out in perspirational odor. So he says, domen tanur shekul gavei faro v'zui tchilat ruach zuama, and then that's the beginning of perspirational odor. Now, who's struck Lefano v'Neicholipano? Now the Gemara says, let's say a person needs to relieve themselves. We're on Pei Beis Amud Aleph 82a, around 15 lines before the end of the parak. Welcome, Seth. Okay, so it says, let's say a person needs to go to the bathroom and he can't have a bowel movement. What should he do? So he says, Amar Rav Chista, Yamod v'Yeshev, Yamod v'Yeshev, that he should stand up, sit down, and the movement will hopefully get things moving. He says, Rav Chanan min Yerdamar, Yistalek l'Tzadim. He says, Yistalek l'Tzadim, he should try to go to the bathroom one place, then not, he'll go to another place, try to go there, and keep trying to have a bowel movement. So Rav Hamnuna Amar, Yimashmesh Betzror bo Tomakom. Rav Hamnuna says he should take like a pebble and try to stimulate that place, you know, and he says, Rabbanan Amri Yasiach Dato. The Chamim say Yasiach Dato, we think it means just forget about it, and then eventually you'll have the bowel movement. So Amrli Rav Acha b'Rei the Rav the Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, Kol Shekhen Dikhi Masach Da'ite L'Mafan. If he's not thinking about it, certainly he won't have a bowel movement. So he says, Amar Le Yasiach Dato Midvarim Acherim. He says, no, what it means is he should focus on having a bowel movement. In other words, not that, in other words, he should, like Yasiach Dato, he should, you know, leave his mind from other thoughts and just focus in his mind about having a bowel movement. And then, according to that opinion, that would help. Amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti said, L'diti chazi liyahu tayah. I saw a certain Arab who was a non-Jew. He says, the kambiyatev, kambiyatev. He tried the method of sitting and getting up. Ad shafach kikadera. And when he let it out, it was like pouring like a big pot of like chalent out. Everything came flowing. Okay, Michael, do you want to comment any of this, Michael? Michael, you want to make any comments?
Which word in there is chalent? Which word in there is chalent?
Well, Kedera is like a pot that's, you know, filled with food.
So Jews fixating on bowel function is over 1,500 years old.
I don't know what to say. Anyway, do you have anything to say about the methods that the Chazal have and in terms of, you know, promoting bowel movement?
You know, it's like all refuahs in the Gemara, right? It's very clear that that's not what we do today, whether it's Mishnah HaBriya or whether we don't really understand it. These are not proscriptions, and we definitely don't advise you to follow this method.
Doesn't movement, and like when people sleep, they don't have a bowel movement. They get up, they walk around, and they have a bowel movement. Doesn't movement in some way encourage a bowel movement?
Oh, exercise does, yes. Exercise does. I don't know about getting up and sitting down on the toilet, but exercise could help you.
All right. Aram Moshe, what do you want to say?
Some pebbles to stimulate the aim.
I want to just know which restaurant the Arab went to.
All right. Okay, now let's see. Don't forget,
isn't
you're being recorded, Aram
Moshe. Isn't that pebble like an enema? That's what it sounds like to me.
I don't know an enema. I don't know. But I'll leave it to Dr. Frank to explain that. Okay. Now, I think the idea is like you're going to like rub the pebble in that area, and then things are going to start moving. I don't think that's quite the same as an enema, but all right. Let's see further. Now, all right. So we're up to Tanrabanan. Tanrabanan, Hanichnas Sudat Keva. Now, a person's coming to Sudat Keva. He's got a big meal. And he's embarrassed if he has to get up in the middle of the meal to make a bowel movement. So he says, so he wants to make the bowel movement before the meal. So he says, Yahalich Eser Pamim Shal Arba Arba Amot. He should walk 10 times for Amot. In other words, sit, then walk 10, then walk, for Amot, then sit, then walk for Amot, and sit and walk for Amot. He says, Va'amri lo, others say, Arba Pamim Shal Eser Amot. Other people say that you should four times each walk 10 Amot. Then he can go and relieve himself and sit in his place, and he'll be in good shape. You know, I remember there was, I want to see who this is, but there was one family. It was a very prominent family, and I went to the shiva, and this shiva was like the person had a grandfather who was a big Talmud Chacham. And he said he remembered that as a child, when they would come home from shul, like they wouldn't eat the suda until this grandfather had like gone to the bathroom. And he said they all like remembered like where he would hear like the bathroom door like close, whatever, and then now we get to eat, you know. So like in other words, this grandfather I think had learned in Europe, and I guess I assume that was the same sort of thing. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right, now
Japanese don't leave their house in the morning till they have a bowel movement. They train themselves at a very young age to evacuate before leaving the house in the morning.
All right, let's take a look. All right, next Mishnah, Manitin. Now again, we're talking about Shiurim for Hotzan Shabbat. So Manitin, Cheres Kideli Tain Bein Patsim L'Chavero Div Rabbi Yehuda. Cheres is like a pot shard. What is the minimum amount, the shear for a pot shard to be chayv for Hotza'ah? So according to Ron the Rabbi Yehuda, let's say I have piles of like beams that are lying on the ground. They would put like pot shards in between the beams to prevent them, it sounds like, from leaning over too much. It's like a little bit, what do they call that thing that the bubble wrap or whatever? What is that called? Bubble wrap or something, you know, like the anyway. So they would put these bubble, what? I can't hear Fern. Let me hear. Fern? What is it?
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap, yeah. Right. So it's like they put these little pot shards in between. That'd be a very small shear. He says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kedil Lachtot Bo'ur. Meir says, enough to carry like some fire. It means a coal, a small coal. So you could have a very small coal. It would be like also a very small shear. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kedil Kapel Bo'ur Raviyat. Rabbi Yossi says that it has to be large enough to contain a raviyas of water or raviyas of fluid. So at first blush, it sounds like that Rabbi Yossi is the larger shear. That's the way it sounds like at first blush. He says, "Amar Rabbi Meir, So Meir says, even though I don't have a proof from the Pesukim that the shear is enough to carry a coal, or I have an allusion to it from a Pasuk in the Navi. It says, so the Navi Yeshaya is making a prophecy, it relates to like Yehuda and Binyamin, in other words, the southern kingdom. So they had made an agreement with Paro in Egypt, a defense agreement. And he says, don't put your faith in this defense agreement. It's not going to be much of anything. It's like a wall that's going to come crashing down, and you'll have like splinters all over the place. So the Pasuk says, lo yimatze b'mechitato, it was a metaphor. In other words, the wall represents the agreement with Egypt. He says, lo yimatze b'mechitato, you won't find in its like fragments, he says, cheres lachtoresh, mi code. Even a cheres, even like a pot shard to take like a coal with. So it sounds like that would be the minimum shear for chashivas. And it'll be so valueless you won't even have that. But that's the way the Navi is saying. So he says, Amarli Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Misham Rai, that's your proof. He says, Balachasof Mayim Migeva. The end of the Pasuk says, you won't have that, there won't be anything from this wall like to even gather up water from a pool. So that supports my opinion, is what he's saying. Okay? All right, let me just do the Gemara, and then I'll pause, and we'll take some questions. So we have now parentheses in the first line of the Gemara, and we know in its parentheses it usually means that some people hold, don't put it there. And indeed, the Marashal says, see, it says on the left-hand column, Rashal Mem Zayin, Mochek says. So the Marashal, Reb Shlomo Luria, leaves these words out. I will read them and translate them, but we'll take it from there. So Gemara, Ibai Lahu, Shir de Rabbi Meir Nafish, or Shir de Rabbi Yossi Nafish, which is the larger shear as between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? So the first shear was a very small shear. That was Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Patsim, Bein Patsim Lechaveiro, like between the piles of boards. But we're focusing on the shear of Rabbi Meir, who says enough to hold the coal, and Rabbi Yossi says Kedei Lekabel B'Raviyad. So which is the larger shear? So Mistaber Shiur de Rabbi Yossi Nafish. So the Gemara says logically, I would think that Rabbi Yossi's larger amount. He says Raviyad. Raviyad is like your Kiddush cup on Friday night. Raviyad, and the other one says just enough to hold a coal. I could have a small little coal. It could be the size of a mothball or something. So he says here. But the Gemara says Umikra Shir Rameir Nafish, but from the pasuk it sounds like Rameir's shear is larger. He says the Isak Adaita Shir Rabbi Yossi Nafish. If you'll assume that the shear of the potsherd to hold the water is the larger amount, he says Light La B'mana Zutra B'hada Light La B'mana Raba. Would the Navi give them like a klala? First with a small amount, and then with a larger amount. In other words, if I'm saying everything's going to be so lousy, you won't have A, and you want a B, so B is like usually like the smaller amount. That's the way it should be. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is the larger shear, because he says Revius, but from the Pasuk, it doesn't sound like it would work that way. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Manita Nami Lachtot Esh Miyakita Gedola. No, that we should understand our Mishnah is talking about. In other words, in the Mishnah, indeed, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is a smaller shear. And Rabbi Meir says, like, he means that it could be that he needs the potsherd to take a coal from a big fire. I got a big fire. I'm going to stick my fingers in to get a small coal, get burned up. I need a little bit of a bigger piece of cheres to, scoop up the little coal. So or the Gemara is saying, indeed it is, that Rabbi Meir's shear is larger than Rabbi Yossi's shear. All right, let me just do two lines and we'll finish the parak and we'll take some comments. Rabbi Yossi Omer Misham Raya. So Rabbi says, that's your proof. The end of the Pasuk proves my way. So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamerli Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi Taka, he's got a great argument to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, Lomibai Kamer. Rabbi Meir will understand the Pasuk is like, Lomibai means it goes without saying. He says, Lomibai immediately the Chashiv Lin Shidlot Shkachachlei, that in other words, the Navi is saying Paro is worthless. He's like a wall that's going to come crashing down. And when this wall comes crashing down, not only won't you find something chashuv, you won't find there. And the something chashuv is the cheres to carry the coal. He says, even things that are worthless, you won't find there. That's to pick up the water. So again, so for hotza'ah, I need a cheres that's a chashuv amount. In other words, something that people are machshiv, they attach significance to it. So the way Rabbi Meir will learn the pasuk, Rabbi Yossi's shear is that the Navi doesn't consider it to be chashuv at all. All right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I said or did? What's up? Maybe said, I did. Go ahead.
I just want to know, do you remember all of these shiurim for different things for hotzah?
No.
Okay, good.
But the thing, the main thing is to remember, like, the food is grogeret. I mean, some things I may remember, I don't know, but I don't think I can remember all of them. But all right, everybody good? Yosef, you good? Looking serious, Yosef.
How does the pasuk prove Rav Meir is correct?
So again, so the pasuk is providing an allusion for Rav Meir Shita. So the Navi is saying to Klal Yisrael, Paro, your defense agreement with Paro is worthless. Right. He's like a wall that's going to come crashing down, and okay. From the wall that comes crashing down, you won't even find a piece of cheres to which to take a flame with. So that means that a piece of cheres to take a flame or a coal with is a davar chashuv, but you won't even find that when his paro is worthless. So that's what supports Rabbi Meir. Are you okay, Yosef, or not?
Then
Rabbi Yossi says to him, but the pasuk continues on, you won't find a piece of water. So he says, Rabbi Meir will say, it means you won't even find a davar chashuv, like something to hold the coal, and even something not chashuv you won't find. But we're interested in a davar chashuv. Is it okay? All right.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right. Yesh koch to everybody. So hadra alah chamotzi yayin. So you finished the eighth parak of Shabbat. Okay. Now we're about to begin the ninth parak of Shabbat. There's only 24 parakim in Shabbat, so we got a while to go. So now the ninth parak begins with mishnayot that have nothing to do with Hilchot Shabbat. It's just that you have the same style, minayin this, minayin that. So Rashi points out that there's a Mishnah on Pei Vav that talks about, and you'll have this on Sunday's daf, it says, minayin shemar chisin amila biyom ha-shlishi shechali open Shabbat. How do I know that I can wash the wound on a child? And it means, according to the Hilchot of the Gemara, I could actually heat up the water. In other words, the child is considered pikuach nefesh. We don't hold this way now when we do a bris, but from the din of the Gemara, you could like boil the water on Shabbos for the child if it's the third day since his bris milah. The third day is considered the most dangerous day. So it says minayin shmar chisin akatan, that's on peivav. So because that minayin, Rashi learns, we have all these other mishnayot that have the operative word minayin in it. All right, but nothing to do with Shabbat. All right. All right, so let's start. So I'm Rabbi Akiva, minayin l'avodah zarah shemetama b'masa kenida. How do I know that avodah zarah, idolatry, it means if I have an idol or something like that, that it's metame, that it gives forth tuma like a nida. Nida is an avatuma. So it's talking about here tuma on a drabanan level, not on a deraisa level, but tuma on a drabanan level. But how do I see an allusion, the psukim, for this tuma? He says, "Shneimar tizreim kmo davat say tomarlo." Interestingly enough, this is in the same parak as the previous pasuk that we just quoted a little while ago. So the Navi is saying, in the future, you're all going to be loyal to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is Navi Yeshaya, and when you come across avodah zarah, you'll throw it out. You'll distance yourself like you distance yourself from a nida, like you don't want to be near the nida woman. So the avodah zarah, you'll be distant from it as well. Say tomorrow, you say, get out of here. So he says, ma nida metama b'masa, avodah zarah metama b'masa. Just like a nida is metama b'masa. In other words, metama b'masa means if I carry the nida, even if, let's say she's in a chair and I'm carrying the chair, so I become tame, even though I don't touch her. So too, the avodah zarah is also metame b'masa, even though I don't touch the avodah zarah. All right? So that's the halacha. Everybody good? All right. All right, let's see further. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah, which is around 2-3 years away in the future on Daf Yomi time. But we'll see there's a machloket in this Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to try to tease out what exactly the machloket is. And in some way the machloket is going to be, whether Avodah Zarah is like a nida or like a sheretz, but we'll have to clarify. A sheretz is like a dead lizard, it's an avatuma, but the nida is also an avatuma, but she has certain dinim that are shaykh specifically by a nida, that not shaykh by a sheretz. So we'll see. So Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah, Misha Beito Samukh Avodah Zarah. If his house was adjoining Avodah Zarah, so it means the next door neighbor has a Beit Avodah Zarah, which is always nice, and I share a wall with the next door neighbor. So it's my wall, but he saw my wall and he decided to use my wall as a fourth wall for his place of Avodah Zarah. He says, V'nafal, and the wall collapsed. So asur levnoto. So he's not allowed to rebuild that wall, because if he rebuilds that wall, he's like helping rebuild the place of Avodah Zarah. Now Rashi in Masechet Avodah Zarah explains in some way that the Avodah Zarah was to worship like this building in which so mamish is the Avodah Zarah. So it makes it a little easier with our sugya. But the other way to explain it is that there's Avodah Zarah in the building, and this is the house of the Avodah Zarah. He says, Ketzad yaaseh, so what should the homeowner do or the property owner do? Konis atoch shelo arba amot, he'll mark off dalet amot, in other words, he'll withdraw the wall dalet amot from the property line. He says, ubone, and then he'll build from there. So there'll be like a sort of cordon sanitaire, right, between the two properties, right? In other words, there'll be a little strip between the two properties.
So he's taking a loss.
He's taking a loss somewhat to get away from the Avodah Zarah, but even in that zone, he shouldn't leave it blank because he doesn't want the Avodah Zarah people to use it. So he'll put like either thorn bushes there or things like that, so to prevent the Avodah Zarah people from using it. Now the top line on Pei Beis Amud Beis, Hayah Shelo v'Shelo Avodah Zarah. Let's say the wall belonged both to him and to the Avodah Zarah. In other words, the wall is on the dotted line, and it was built by both property owners. Now, when the person could be a from Jew, but when the Goy, he got together with the Goy, he wasn't doing anything with Avodah Zarah. And then later on, he changed his mind. He turned the place into an Avodah Zarah. So now the whole thing collapsed. So now what exactly, how does he make measurements and do that? So Nidon Mechza al Mechza, he says, so we'll judge this. We'll judge the, concerning like the calculation. So we'll do the measurements from the midpoint of the wall. In other words, the property line was midway through the wall. So now we'll measure Dalet Amot from the midpoint through the wall. Abanabe Tzavafarav Mitamim Kisheretz. And its stones, its wood, and its dirt up from the wall has tuma like a sheretz. A sheretz is like the dead lizard, which is an avatuma. Shnemar Shaketz Tishakshenu V'gomer. It says Shaketz Tishakshenu, should like a sheketz. So sheketz is an abomination, but it's like a sheretz. So Rabbi Akiva Omer Kanida. Rabbi Akiva says it's like anida. Shnemar tizreim kmo dava, like you should, scatter them like a dava, like anida. Manida mitamba b'masa avodah zara mitamba b'masa. Just like the nida is mitamba b'masa when it's carried, so too the avodah is mitamba b'masa. Okay, so we have a mishnah we just did from a second avodah zara, and the mishnah talks about a wall that was used for a beit avodah zara, and it sounds like there's a machloket tanaim about what the status of Tuma is for the items from the wall. So one Tana Lechora at first blush seems to hold that all the items have Tuma like a Sheretz, which is an Abba Tuma. And the other seems to hold that it's got Tuma like a Nida. Now a Nida is also Metame, even if I'm carrying the Nida. That's something unique to Nida. It's not true by Sheretz. And I'm not touching the Sheretz or the Nida. So the Nida is more powerful. So Rabbi Kiva says it's like Tuma like a Nida. And the other Tana says it's like a tomb of Sheretz. That's what we think. So now we're going to have two ways in the Gemara to understand this Mishnah. And the first is by Reb Lazar, Rabba, and the second by Reb Lazar. So now we're going to do Rabba's understanding of the Mishnah. So Amar Rabba, Tizreim to Amar Kro, Nakrinu Minach Kizar. When it says Tizreim, like scatter it, the Avodah Zarah, it means like you should like alienate from yourself from it. He says, say Tomarlo. He can esal tomorrow. Say, get lost and don't say welcome into the house. And it's shayach even today, like there's different ways of welcoming Avodah Zarah and things into the house. There's, it can come in the forms of magazines, books, TV, the internet. There's all sorts of Avodah Zarah, that a person can easily welcome into the house just with a mouse click, and not just lav dafka Avodah Zarah, but other prohibited things as well. And it's very shayach, b'zman hazeh. All right, let's take a look. So, v'amar Rabba, now Rabba's going to explain the machloket. Mama Rabba, Bamasa de Kliyama lo pligi de Matama, da it kashlanida. So Rabba says that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva agree that the Avodah Zarah is Matame Bamasa. They both agree on that, just like the Nida. That's they both agree on. He says, ki pligi be'evan misama. The point of dispute between them is a term called evan misama. Evan misama means an emplaced stone, and it means, we'll see in a minute, does he say? Okay, so it means like this. Let's say there's a stone, and the stone is put on pegs, on supports. And now I have kalim, or I'm standing underneath the stone. I'm not in contact with the stone. And the Nida is standing on the stone. In other words, like there's like a little, like sort of like a sukkah with the stone, and the Nida is standing on the roof of this sort of like stone sukkah. So the Nida is mentame whatever underneath the stone, even though I'm not in contact with it. That's a din of Evan Misama, but the Shera, it's not. Let's take a look. Keep leaking Evan Misama. So if I'd be supporting the stone, everybody agrees I'm Tame. But what if it's an Evan Misama situation? He says, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kanida, Mandida Matamba Evan Misama, just like Anita is Matami be Evan Misama. So Rabbi Akiva is Pashut. Nida. In other words, the Avodah Zarah is exactly like the Nida in all respects. He says, Avodah Zarah Matamba Evan Misama. Rabbanan Savri Kisheretz. But here, with the Evan Misama, the Chamim hold is like a Sheretz. He says, my sheretz lo matami be evan misama. A sheretz, so I put the sheretz on top of the stone, so no tuma goes down below it. So he says, af avodah zara lo matama be evan misama. Now, will Rabbi Akiva lo mahilchta itkash the sheretz? So how will Rabbi Akiva explain the comparison in the pasuk to a sheretz? What does he do with that pasuk? Now, again, these are all dinim derabbanan. I said this at the beginning of the parak, but just remember, it's all rabbinic. But it means, in terms of allusions, why? How will Rabbi Akiva understand that there is some allusion connected to a sheretz? L'misham sheha. So Rabbi Akiva would say, let's say I have the mishamshei of Avodah Zarah. Mishamshei of Avodah Zarah are the tools, the instruments that are used in conducting the worship of the Avodah Zarah. So they have a din like a sheretz. They're an avatuma, but they're not matame b'masa. They're not matame on the evan misama. That's just the misham sheha. That's why he compares it to a sheretz. Ul'rabbanan l'mayhilchata itkash l'nida. So according to Chachamim, who hold that there's no Evan Misama Tuma with the here, so why is it compared to Anita? Lamasa. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so let's go slowly with this. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's just Nida. Nida does the whole thing. And Sheretz, that's only for the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. It's not the Avodah Zarah itself. It's just the Mishamshei Avodah Zarah. But now, according to the Chachamim, the whole din is split. In other words, in some dinim, it's like a nida, but in some dinim, it's like a sheretz in terms of the evan misama. So the Gemara asks, let's take a look. V'lukshu rachmana l'nevela. So if that's the case, so he says, l'masa, v'lukshu rachmana l'nevela. So if that's the case, would it not have been simpler to make the analogy to a nevela? A nevela is the carcass of an animal that doesn't go through shechita, the dead carcass. So nevela is also matame b'masa, and is not matame with evan misama. So if this is the way you chachamim say the halacha is, so wouldn't it not have been simpler for the psukim to just compare avodah zarah to a nevela, and then I'll say nevela, showing that's we're good. So the Gemara says inachinami, it would have been simpler. Ela, but why did it not do that? Elama nida ena le'evarim. It means that just like a nida. Let's say you take a woman who's Anita, and then, I don't know, she dies, and I chop her body into different pieces. So each piece has got tumas mace, so the mace is tumba oil, things like that, but it won't have the special unique denim of Anita. In other words, the parts won't have the special unique denim of Anita. In other words, like tumas Evan Misama won't have, and it won't have the tumas midras either. So it's just the mace. So he says, Af Avodah Zarah Eina Le'Evarim. So the Chachamim will say that it mentions the Nida because it wants us to understand that Avodah Zarah Eina Le'Evarim. Let's say I have a segmented Avodah Zarah. Let's say it's like an idol, and you could unscrew the head, unscrew the arms, unscrew the body, unscrew the legs. So if it's in this Evarim form, so it does not convey Tuma. It does not convey Tuma. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Rav Chama Bar Guria had a question. Avodah Zarah, Yeshna Leivarim, Weina Leivarim. So Rav Chaim Berger had a question. Does the tomb of Avodah Zarah apply when the Avodah Zarah is taken apart into segments or not? So Tifshut Le Mehad, the Rabbanan Ein Leivarim. So based on your analysis here, he should have been able to resolve his question and say, Pashut, according to the Chachamim, the Chachamim say, why does the Torah or compare or why does the Navi compare the Avodah Zarah to Anita? Because just like Anita is Ein Leivarim, well, the dinim don't apply to her limbs. So too, Avodah Zarah, the tumah doesn't apply to limbs. Then we answer the question. So the Gemara says, Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Libet Rabbi Kiva Boila. So Rav Chama Bar Gurya was asking the question within the Shita of the Tana Rabbi Akiva. In other words, Rabbi Akiva says, it's like Nida, 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 Nida. So what does he hold about the Avarim? So the question that he had was, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds it's only like Anita for the stringencies of Anita, not the leniencies of Anita. So Eina Leivarim is a leniency. So perhaps Rabbi Akiva only learns the analogy to Anita just for the stringencies and not for the leniencies. So that was his question. All right, let's go. Let me go to the next piece now. All right, is everybody okay so far? Anybody have any questions? Yeah, what's up, Seth? What's up?
Confused.
Okay, well, all right, first Seth, then you, Yosef, okay?
What's the definition of an idol according to halakha? What would be an exact definition?
It would be an image that people worship.
Okay. All right.
All right. Yosef, what's up?
What exactly is an Evan Masama?
So an Evan Masama is a stone that I put on pegs. I put a stone on pegs.
Okay.
And Kalim, where I... I'm standing underneath the stone, but I'm not in contact with the stone. And then the Nida or the Avodah Zarah is on top of the stone. It's like a sukkah. And so it's above me, but I'm not in contact with it.
Okay, when Nida says everything under it becomes tummy, no? Okay,
right, by Nida it does. All right, everybody good? All right, let's go further. Now, all right, so that's the first way. So again, let's just repeat again. So according to Rabba, the way Rabba understands the Mishnah, Masechet Avodah Zarah, everybody agrees that that Avodah Zarah is like a Nida, and it's Metame B'masa. Everybody agrees on that. The only machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva is whether the Tumah extends for Evan Misama. And Evan Misama, I just explained again to Yosef what it is. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even the Evan Misama has the Tumah like the Nida, but according to Chachamim, no. It's like a sheretz in that regard that doesn't have tumah for Evan Misama. Now, let's see 8 lines from the bottom. Now we're going to learn a different way to understand the machloket from Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar amar, the Evan Misama, the kuliyama lo pligi, de lo metama. Reb Lazar says, nobody holds Evan Misama by Avodah Zarah. Get that off the table. Ki pligi b'masa. They have on the machloket they have is whether it's metame b'masa, with carrying it, even though you're not touching it. Rabbi Akiva Savar Kanita, Manita Matama Masa, Avodah Zarah Matama Masa. Rabbi Akiva holds the Avodah Zarah like Anita, just like Anita is Matame Bamasa, so too the Avodah Zarah is Matama Masa. But on Savri Kisheretz, Ma Sheretz Lomatama Bamasa, Avodah Zarah Lomatama Masa. So this is a little simpler way, I think, to understand. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Avodah Zarah is like Anita, and according to the Chachamim, it's like a dead Sheretz. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, the one Hilchta Itkash the Sheretz. So how will Rabbi Akiva explain why there's an analogy in the Psukim comparing Avodah Zarah to a Sheretz? What will he do with that? So the Misham Sheha, he'll say that relates to the tools of the Avodah Zarah. So the tools of the Avodah Zarah, that has tumah like a Sheretz, not like a Nida. In other words, that's not Metame B'masa, but the Avodah Zarah itself is Metame B'masa. V'rabbanan l'may hilchata itkash l'nida, and the Chamim will hold the Avodah Zarah like a Sheretz, why would they say it's compared to a Nida? Manida ena le'evarim, that just like Anita, in other words, the dinim that are unique to Nida don't extend when the Nida is chopped up, like we discussed before. Avodah Zarah ena le'evarim. So Avodah Zarah, if I have a segmented Avodah Zarah and then it's disassembled, so then there's no tumah from it. All right, that's going to be the daf for tonight. Now, don't leave yet. I want to talk a little more about the toilet paper, which we did last night, if that's okay.
I'm going to leave because I have a friend giving a shiur on roots.
Okay. So I'll see you Blinetter tomorrow at 5 o'clock, right, Fern? Okay.
Blinetter.
Yeah, okay. Now
Baba, before you do the toilet thing, the Nida, if she's nida and you cut her up, her hand is not nida anymore? It's not toma nida if you carry it?
That's correct. In other words, the dinim that are unique to a nida disappear when she's cut up into pieces. In other words, it'll be like tumas mace. It'll be like a dead body as tumas ohel, but it doesn't have tumas masa. Each area in tuma has its own unique dinim. So it loses its unique dinim of tumas nida. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm glad you got the light on there, Yosef. We're worried about you. Okay, now, all right, now let me just talk. I have a little bit about this thing with the toilet paper, and then we'll take it from there. So first, I have from Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen's book, which I've shown you before. It's a very nice book. So he says, he said, now remember, we learned last night, Gedol Kvod HaBriyot Shedocha Lo Tase Shebetorah. We said Kvod HaBriyot is very important. It's Docha Lo Tase Shebetorah. So we said by Hilchot Shabbat, even though they're a dinim of muksa by the stones, but there's a special dispensation for, you know, taking the avanim mekor zelot, the sharpened stones, even though they were not designated before Shabbos, I could take them on Shabbos. That even though they're normally be muksa, I have a special dispensation. So we said the question is, does that dispensation extend to other areas, other dinim derabbanan or not? So here he says, you can't tear toilet paper on Shabbos. If you tear it randomly, you do the prohibition of Korea, and if you tear along the preparations, Mechateich. So he's got like three ideas. The first, if you're running into a pickle, the first idea is hinting to a Gentile. If a Gentile is available, one should hint him to tear the paper. One should not tell the Gentile explicitly to tear it. One may say, for example, my toilet paper is not torn apart, and I cannot use it in that manner. This is permitted even though Gentile will deduce from the statement that the Jew wants him to tear the paper. If hinting is unsuccessful or impossible, one is permitted to tell the Gentile directly to tear the paper. So the first choice is get a goy who can do the actions, and that's the best thing. Okay, choice number two is, he says, using uncut paper, when we use the paper without tearing from the roll, and when finished, insert the used portion of the roll in the toilet and flush. The paper in the bowl will thus be torn automatically from the rest of the roll. This is permitted. This is permitted because one does not tear the paper directly, but by causative action, grama, and in cases of great necessity, causing the occurrence of a malacha is permitted on Shabbos. That's the second idea. That always do with grama. Okay, then the third idea is tearing in an unusual manner. If for some reason neither of the aforementioned procedures can employed, there's no goy around, and for some reason I can't use the other method, it is permitted to tear the paper from the roll in an unusual manner. Example, by tearing with one's teeth, elbows, or feet. When doing so, one should tear the paper from the roll at random lengths and should not divide the cut pieces into small pieces. The reason this is permitted is that tearing in an unusual manner is prohibited only rabbinically, and the rabbis provided dispensation for the sake of maintaining human dignity. And that was the question we spoke about. It's not so clear whether the chamim, that heter, was for, you know, all dinim derabbanan or just muksa. Now this is Rabbi Ribbiat's book. We'll hear what Rabbi Ribbiat has to say, and you hear Rabbi Ribbiat, right? Okay, so Rabbi Ribbiat says, so he says, when they hint to a non-Jew, that's the thing, just like Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen said, it's not effective, the non-Jew being instructed directly, also the same. The non-Jew is allowed to cut it. Now, one should not specifically request the paper be cut along perforated lines. This would be equivalent to requesting forms of an additional non-essential malacha machate. However, the non-Jew may tear the paper as he wishes, even along the perforated lines. He's doing so only for his own convenience and not solely on behalf of the Jew. I shouldn't say, please break it up on the dotted lines. That's bad news. Now, if non-Jew is not available, or one discovers a deficiency while using the bathroom, one should attempt, if possible, to use the paper while it is attached to the roll and leave the end in the bowl. There is no restriction against flushing, the same idea. Even though the wetted end of the roll is likely to be torn off by the force of the water, it's a grama showing the same. Now, he says, if one is afraid this option may be extremely offensive to others who must use the same facility after him, for example, in a hotel or public facility, he may rely upon the opinion of some poskim to be tearing the paper, preferably between the perforated lines, not along them, for that particular use only. However, he may not tear the paper to any specific length, but should in fact tear a longer sheet than needed. Okay, now, when tearing the paper in these circumstances, one must do so with a shinui, like la'achar yad. This can usually be accomplished by unrolling a length of paper, pressing against the wall or other available surface with his knuckles, the fists of both hands. One then pulls his knuckles apart, thereby tearing the sheet apart as well. And here he's got a picture. I'll show you the picture if you can see it. A second. There we go. Okay. You see, he's got the paper with the knuckles, and he's ripping the paper like that way. So he says, only then one then pulls his knuckles apart, thereby tearing the sheet as well. It's mentioned one should try possible to the paper along perforations. However, one need not be overly concerned if the paper does in fact become torn along the perforated line. Okay, tearing the toilet paper in these circumstances is permitted. Quota brios. Okay, that we did as well. Okay, now let me just see for a second.
You use a cotton.
What?
You use a cotton to do it. You use a cotton.
Yeah. So I don't think that's the best idea because it's like training the katan to do, you know, work. I mean,
if he's not 12
years
old.
I think it's like a larger issue, like having a katan do malacha for you on Shabbos or Yisurim on Shabbos. I don't think that's the best idea. I'd have to look into it a little bit more, but I don't think that's like the preferable idea. Yeah, I don't think that's great either.
Okay.
All right, now let's see. Okay, let me just do this one piece from the Ala Daf, and I think that's going to be it for tonight. Okay, so he quotes here in the Ala Daf, we mentioned about the Avodah Zarah being like Anita, and the Torah in Bereishis relates that when Yaakov and his family, he says, like secretively took leave of Laban's house, they're running away from Lavan. Rachel stole the Trafim, she stole the idols from her father Lavan. When Laban eventually pursued and overtook Yaakov, Rachel was sitting on her camel with the idols concealed in the camel bag under her. When Laban began searching among Rachel's possessions for his idols, Rachel excused herself for not rising, saying, Derech Nashim Li. I'm like Anita now, so I can't get off the camel. And she's got the Avodah Zarah underneath her. So the Moshavs came and asked, how did our righteous matriarch Rachel utter an outright falsehood to her father? How can I say Derech Nashim Li? So he says, the Moshe of his kingdom answers that according to Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah, Rachel's statement was not a lie. So Rabbi Akiva says the tomb of idols is compared to the tomb of Anita. When Rachel, in other words, the idols give you tumas nida. She's sitting on the idols. She does have tumas nida. So he says, since Rabbi Akiva says the tomb of idols compared to the tomb of Anita, when Rachel claims she was unable to rise because she was Anita, she was actually hinting that she was sitting on the idols and therefore was not considered an outright lie. Okay, that's a little piece. Okay, so listen, I want to wish everybody, let me end the tape. Wait, let me do the tape. I got to remember to do this recording. Okay.